with you. All right, we got good word coming. It's from Jim, and she's going to teach us again on power praying the Lord's Prayer. Welcome, Jim.
So this morning, the Holy Spirit did a switcheroo on me. I thought I had my lesson all, you know, typed up and everything, and I was feeling pretty good about it at first, and then, you know, I started to question some things. You know, those of you who teach, you know how it goes. So I went to bed last night after going through everything, and I woke up, I don't even know what time it was, probably 5:30, 6 o'clock. And the Holy Spirit just, the first half of my lesson, he allowed me to keep, but the second half, he just trashed the whole thing and gave me a whole new perception of, you know, of, I'm teaching, I'm going line by line. I forgot what I told you guys last week to study, but I don't even know if I had it right, but I'm supposed to be teaching on Thy Will Be Done on Earth this week as it is in heaven. But I wanted to, you know, just go for a little bit of the joy of the Lord, because that's what it says in Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I wanted to go a little bit on the joy of the Holy Ghost and move into Thy Will Be Done. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not teaching that part. So what I have, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to like it. It came fresh off the press of the Holy Spirit, because it was not on my radar. He likes to do these things to me, you know. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again for your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this midweek service, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we have a place to come where we can worship, Lord, and we can praise you, and we can get into your word. And Father, we don't have to have no cloak and dagger stuff like in some countries, you know, they have underground churches and they have to hide. We have the freedom, Lord, to come here and worship you and study your word, teach your word. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, for all the things, Lord, that you allow in our lives that we take for granted. Lord, I present this lesson back to you, and I ask, Father, that you, Lord, will give me utterance. Help me to teach it well. Help your people, those who hear, that it will be a blessing to them, that, Lord, it will bring new light into their lives, that it will propel them, Lord, into a close relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you guys know, I've been teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And where's my lesson? Okay. And so we've been going line by line. We've been dissecting it. That's, you know, that's the only way I really knew how to teach this lesson, so that, you know, I can get across the lesson well. And so we did a recap last week. I'm not going to go over that this week. I'm moving on to joy in the Holy Ghost, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I went through righteousness, I went through peace, and now I'm just going to touch a little bit on joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, we have a tendency, well, at least I do, to mix up joy and happiness. But you know, the two are totally different. Happiness is more like an emotion. You know, if something happened, a circumstance or a situation occur in your life or around you, and it makes you happy. But you know, happiness doesn't last forever. You can be happy 1 minute and sad the next. But joy is totally different, especially the God kind of joy. It's something that comes from within. It's something that we really cannot explain. We just know that it's there. You know, it's sort of like peace. I think joy and peace they kind of go hand in hand. You know, in the midst of the storm, you have troubles and tribulations and trials, and you can feel peace. You can feel the peace of God. And people are wondering, why aren't you upset? You know, I remember years ago, some thieves decided to come and steal our pipelines. You know, our pipelines were above ground. And so I jumped in the shower this one morning to get, you know, to go to work. And there was no water. I turned on the shower and there was no water. So I came out back and I went through the house to look down through this window to see. We had a pipe in the front of our yard and it used to drip. And I figured if it was dripping, I knew that we had water, just that the pressure was low. But when I went and I looked, all I saw was this pipe sticking up in the ground and all the lines were gone. Someone came, I think there was a scarcity of pipelines in the country, and someone had a brilliant idea to come and steal ours. And so, you know, my brother helped me to put it back. And my mother, bless her soul, she decided that she was going to keep watch over these lines because she was so afraid that they were going to come and steal it again. And so she's sitting up in this way by this window, you know, looking out. But I'm asleep. I'm in my bed asleep. I'm in the back sleeping. And so she came and she shook me and she said, are you worried? How can you sleep? You know, they might come and steal the lines again and you sleeping. You know, and I looked at her and I'm like, I'm tired, you know. I worked in the lab, and, you know, we dealt with a lot of students, and it was my job to do sterilize everything and make sure, you know, all the distilled water and the formulas and everything were there. And, I mean, I was pooped out, and here she wants me to sit up with her and watch the pipes. I was worried about it. I had a peace. You know, and joy is kind of like the same way. When you know there's stuff happening in your life, and you, when you should be worried and probably pulling your hair out, and you know, and maybe, you know, being grumpy and stuff, there's that joy, that thing inside of you that just bubbles up, and you can't explain it, but it's there. You know, it's tamper-proof. Nothing that happens around us can take it away. This is the God kind of joy I'm talking about. It's not circumstantial. It doesn't fade or respond to change. It doesn't come and go, you know, ebb and flow. One minute you're up, next minute you're down. It is constant, and that's because the Holy Ghost is residing inside of us. When you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you know, regardless of what's going on around you, you can't help but have joy. I mean, you can feel sad, you can feel a little depressed, maybe, you know, you're apprehensive about things and you know, you're concerned. But in the midst of all that, there's that joy. That's abiding joy. It's a peaceful thing. It's a calming. It's just, I don't think there are words to explain it. Because when the Holy Ghost is with you, you know, he'll keep you. He'll help you through difficult circumstances. And so that makes up the kingdom of God. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost immediately comes in to live inside of us. Now, this is kind of different from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we knew that took place on the day of Pentecost. That's a totally different lesson, and I'm not going to go there. But, you know, that's how we're sealed when we get saved, by the Holy Spirit coming, you know, and taking up, you know, residence inside of us. And so, you know, where the Holy Spirit is, there is joy. God is a God, you know, a lot of times we tend to think that God is some, you know, grumpy old man sitting on a throne with a stick, you know, and a frown, just waiting to hit us when we mess up. But God, that's the world's perspective of God. God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a joyful God. He has a sense of humor too. I mean, the things God will do, you know, as you build your relationship with God and you talk to him, the things that he will say sometimes to you and things that he'll arrange will make you laugh. You know, that's the kind of God we serve. He's, you know, he's a joyful God. And I just want to move on to what the Holy Spirit changed my lesson to this morning. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is the latter part of verse 10 in Matthew 6. Thy will be done on earth. You know, Jesus told the disciples when they asked, you know, he was asked, teach us how to pray. He said, you pray this, you know, that, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So many Christians tend to think that God's will is automatically done. It's not. It's, you know, it's not like that song, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. It would be nice. Well, depending on what it is. But, you know, no. If God's will was always done here, notice he said, thy will be done on where? Earth. Up in heaven, God's will is always done. The one time that Satan, you know, tried to pull a coup, he got kicked out, him and the angels that followed him. But God's will is always done up in heaven. God gives the word and the angels are busy. No angel, you know, our Gabriel, he tells Gabriel to go, you know, give a message to a young girl. Yes, sir. You know, Gabriel's gone. Said to Michael, go over there, you know, and help Daniel, you know, help Gabriel to get across to Daniel so he can give the interpretation to his dream. Boom, you know, Daniel is gone. Michael, the archangel, he's gone. You know, the cherubims, you know, and all these different types of angels, they're obedient. They do God's will. It's here on earth where God's will is a problem to us. And that's because, you know, we're selfish. We may not want to admit it, but we are. We want things our way, don't we? We think that we know better than God. See, all this nonsense that's flooding, you know, our world with, you know, women wanting to be men and men wanting to be women. What it boils down to is these people think that they know better. They knew better than God when he created them a male or created them a female. And they decide, well, you know, he made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He does not. He knew exactly what he was doing when he created you, whatever gender he did. Now, we may not, you know, be that extreme. But in a lot of ways, we think that we know better. And I believe that's why we struggle so much with the will of God. We think we can do things faster. You know, we can, you know, do it better. You know, we can, you know, we're just smarter. But no, we're not. And so God, Jesus said, Jesus knew that this was going to be a problem. And he also knew that if we are going to be victorious Christians, if we're going to be productive, if we're going to be fruitful, we are going to have to learn how to yield to him. And that's another problem with us Christians, yielding. We don't want to yield. We don't want to give up. We think maybe, you know, it minimizes us in some way if we just yield. But the more we fight against God, the more difficult we make our lives. And so Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God wants us to be, he wants us to yield to him. He wants us to surrender to him. He wants us to flow with him. Now, The Holy Spirit this morning, I told you he changed everything. He took me to, he just dropped into my spirit, 1 Samuel. I would have never made this connection. 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 22. I know it's a lot of scripture, but we love reading scripture here, yes, don't we? Now, during this time, Samuel was the prophet. And, you know, he would, you know, get messages from God and pass it on to the children of Israel. They'd come to him and he would judge and all that. So let's read 1 Samuel 8. Let's read verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. We're going to jump to verse 3. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. And so the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old." Isn't that? Like, you know, like Samuel didn't know that he was old. "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, let them know what king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Now God was their king. When they were delivered from Egypt, it was God who delivered them. Of course, you know, he used Moses. They spent 40 years in the desert. You know, we all know the story. And they fought many battles, and it was God who fought the battles for them. It was God who gave them the victory. But now all of a sudden, they decided that they, you know, they wanted to be like these other nations. Now we have to be careful of wanting to be like other people. Now we should be content with who God made us to be. We should flow in the gifts and calling that God has given us. You know, not try to covet other people's stuff. And so they said, you know, we want to be like all these other nations. We need a king. We want a king. And we want our king to go out before us like these other nations and lead us like these other nations and fight our battles like these other nations. And so Samuel was annoyed. Samuel was angry. And he prayed about it. And God said, let them, you know, give them their king. They're not rejecting you. It's me they're rejecting. But he said, tell them what kind of king they're going to have over them. They want a king. I'll give them a king. You know, we should be careful. You know the saying, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. A lot of times when we get it, we don't like it, do we? So, but God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy and grace, he warned them, he gave them a warning as to what kind of king they were going to get. And they ignored all the warnings. They didn't care. They just wanted a king. Verse 10, Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his right. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use." Now you would think this would have made them think, stop and, you know. I mean, you know, this guy is going to be taking from them, not taking all their wealth, their, you know, their sons and their daughters. And so Samuel said that he will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. Now, I don't know about the rest of, you know, those of you who are of the Caucasian persuasion, but, you know, for black people, you hear the word slave, and that is not good. Oh, like, oh, slaves? Oh, no, you know, we're not going there. And you would think this would have gotten their attention, considering they were slaves in Egypt. Over 400 years, they were slaves to the Egyptians. They were beaten. They were, you know, they were made to work, you know, just really hard. They were just treated in a very bad way. But no, that didn't mean anything to them. They wanted a king. Give us a king, they said. And then he said, when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in this day. Now, I can be stubborn sometimes. I'll admit, you know, sometimes I can be stubborn. But, well, before I became a Christian, I was probably like these, you know, these Israelites. Like, just give me what I want. I don't care. Oh, when I became a Christian, I was still stubborn, but, you know, in a measured way. If I found out something wasn't going to benefit me, then, you know, I would, oh, well, maybe I should think about this. You know, I got some sense when I got saved. But these people had no sense. Here they are. The prophet is telling them they're going to be slaves. You know, this king is going to take a tenth of everything they have, and he's going to put their kids, their children, their sons and their daughters to work for him and attend to his fields and all that. And they did not care. They just plowed straight ahead, and they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. They already had a king. They had a king of kings that no other earthly king could defeat. And they didn't recognize what they had. Sometimes we don't recognize what we have. You know, we complain and we moan and we groan about stuff until we see other people in a situation or circumstance that's 100 times worse than we are. And then all of a sudden we realize, oh, we've got it made. You know? There's this lady, Johnny Erickson. Tally, a lot of you know her. She's quadriplegic. She's been paralyzed for years. And every single day she comes on radio and she always has something positive to say. And, you know, as I listen to her, she makes me ashamed. Because I can walk, I can talk, you know, I can feed myself, fix my own hair, go places, drive my own car. She has to depend on everybody to do things for her. And here she is not complaining. And when I listen to her, I mean, I really do feel embarrassed. I'm saying, Lord, forgive me. I don't have a thing to complain about. Here, the children of Israel, they had the King of Kings ruling over them, giving them victory, you know, giving them, you know, houses that they didn't build and gardens and fields they didn't plant, and, you know, giving them victory over armies that were mightier and more powerful than them. And they didn't recognize what they had. And they wanted a king. And so God said, give them a king. But he told them what kind of king they were going to have. See, they were not yielded to God's will. They were out and out rebellious. They were stubborn. You know, they didn't care what it cost. They wanted what they wanted. You know, sometimes when I listen to these dietitians and they tell you, oh, you can't, you mustn't eat this. This is bad for you and that is bad. And, you know, and I said, Lord, why is it that everything that I like is bad for me? Why, you know, why can't I eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it as much as I want to eat and don't have to worry about the weight, you know? But see, that's how we are. We can be so stiff-necked and so focused on, you know, on ourselves and so greedy and rebellious and stubborn and you know, whatever adjective you can find, that we don't care about the oncoming danger. Just give me what I want. I'll deal with the rest later. It's not what we do. We're not yielded, you know, to God's will. We're rebellious, we're stubborn. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord, and the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. See, this was what you call God's permissive will. This wasn't his perfect will. God has a perfect will for each and every one of us, you know. But when we are rebellious, when we're not yielding to him, to his will, when we're not willing to let him have his way in us and through us, when we don't want to do what he has told us to do, you know, that's how we get. And God will give us what we want. And then we don't have any joy when we get it, because we got it outside of the will of God. So God said, listen to them. God gave them a king, even though it was against his will, because they persisted. Now, we should be careful when we pray and make sure whatever it is we are asking God for, make sure it lines up with his will. He said if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Sometimes he doesn't answer us because it's against his will. God knows the end from the beginning. You know, he sees everything. He sees the outcome. And I like to put in everything in between, the high, the lows, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, you know, all the gray areas. God sees it. And he is usually trying to save us, spare us some of that pain. But, you know, because we're rebellious and we want our own way, we're not willing to yield. We fight against him. And God will let us get what it is we're asking for. God gave them a king because they persisted. And then they got a whole heap of trouble. You know, Saul, he didn't do what God told him to do. He was rebellious. He did his own thing. I'm not going to go into the life of Saul. You guys can read it up on your own. But in the end, God rejected Saul, and he chose David. That's how David came into being, to be king. You know, when we don't want to be a Saul, we don't want to be rebellious like the children of Israel. We want to trust God and know that what he wants for us is better than what we can want for ourselves. Isaiah 58:8, for your thoughts are not, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. You know, sometimes when God will tell us to do something, it doesn't necessarily make sense, does it? I think it was on the 700 Club a couple of years ago, Pat Robertson at the time was telling a story about this lady who lived in a project. And it was not a good place to be. She was not happy. It was not safe, you know. And she, you know, she would cry out to God and ask him to get her out of the project. She wanted to live in a better place, a nicer place. And God told this woman to sell hot dogs and chips through her window. Through her window. Now, when you're living in government-controlled, you know, buildings, there are certain things you're not allowed to do. But this is what God told her to do. He told her, start selling some hot dogs and chips through your bedroom window. So she went and got a whole bunch of hot dogs and as many chips as she could, you know, and she put the word out, and you know, the people would come, and she would sell through her window hot dogs and chips. And nobody bothered her. In, you know, the authorities didn't bother her. And she, I don't know how long she did this, but she was able to amass an amount of money that enabled her to get out of the project. Yeah. get into a nice apartment and live a much better life. Selling hot dog and chips through your window. You know? It's amazing. You know, when we get instructions from God, no matter how silly it sounds, you know, it'll work. If God tells us to do it, it'll work. So his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not ours. And when we realize this, when we come to the place in our lives, when we realize that, you know, that his thoughts and his ways are better and higher than ours, when we get that in our, not just in our head, but in our spirit, down inside of us, you know, doing God's will become a lot easier. Because we'll know that we can trust him. We'll know that we can depend upon him. We'll know, you know, that he has the best for us. John the Baptist said it best in John 3:30. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, that's what we need to do. Crucify this flesh of ours. The flesh, our human flesh, is contrary to the spirit. The Bible said so. You know, it doesn't want to do what God wants us to do. It wants to do the opposite. But if we're going to be yielded to God's will, we're going to have to learn how to be disciplined. You know, it just doesn't happen. We have to be disciplined. We have to, you know, tell ourselves this is how it's going to be. You know, like when you decide to go on a fast and then all of a sudden people are giving you donuts and chocolate chip cookies, or you pass by some place and you smell something really nice and you want to eat, but you have to discipline yourself. Okay, I'm on a fast. You know, you have to discipline yourself and not yield to that temptation to eat. You know, we have to decrease. We have to crucify this flesh. How do we do that? Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above and not on things in the earth. See, we have to set. We have to do the setting. Just like we set the temperature in our home. If it's cold, we set the heat at the desired temperature. Or in the summertime when it's hot, we set the thermostat to cool the house. You know, now they have all these smart things, you know, you can control things from your phone, but you still have to do it. You still have to set program the phone or whatever it is, so, you know, that the house will, you know, be cool or hot as needed. We have to discipline ourselves and set our affections on things above, on the things, you know, that pertains to God, the godliness and righteousness and peace. That's what we have to do. We cannot allow ourselves to, you know, allow all the worldly voices and things to crowd our lives so that, you know, we're not able to do what God wants us to do. Romans 7:15. This is the New International Version. This is Paul writing this. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. Isn't that it? The New Living Translation says, I don't really understand myself, for what I do, or I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. The English Standard Version, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. See, this is the flesh. You know, there's a conflict between, you know, doing the earthly things and doing spiritual things. You know, you want to read your Bible, but your body is telling you sleep. You know, those little demons are probably perched on the pillow, blowing on you. Sleep. But what we have to do, we have to say, no, I'm going to get up. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm going to pray. There are things we have to do. The Berean, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. See, there's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And so if we're going to do God's will, you know, that's why Jesus said, pray. We should pray that God's will be done here. You know, we have to pray that we will come in sync with His will, His purposes, and His plans. Because our flesh doesn't want to. Our flesh want to be, you know, watching TV or, you know, being on Facebook and, you know. I mean, now I have to take my own my own lesson. You know, lately I go on Facebook and I'm maybe reading something and then something else pop up. And then, you know, I look and before I know it, something else pop up. And it just keeps going like that. It's a time stealer. And if, you know, if I don't discipline myself and said enough, you know, and get out, I mean, it's easy to spend an hour or more just reading all this stuff that doesn't benefit you, you know, benefit me in any way. See, you know, we have to be disciplined. We have to do things. We have to be purposeful about, you know, what we do to help us, you know, to do God's will. And that's why Jesus, you know, said, pray, thy will be done. He understands our flesh better than we do. Remember, he was a man. He lived as a man. He experienced all the things that we have experienced. So he knows. So when he says pray, we had better pray. And this is why Satan doesn't want us to pray. Because he knows if we really get to praying, doing God, then praying that God's will be done, not our own will, but God's will, he knows that his gooses will really be cooked. So it's important, you know, that we listen to what God says. And that when we pray and ask God to help us to get in sync with his will, to want to do his will. Because we don't always want to do God's will, but God knows what's good for us. He knows what's best for us. Just like parents, we, those of us who are parents, you know, we know what our kids need. We know what is detrimental to them. And, you know, we wouldn't give them things that would hurt them. God is the same way. He's even better than us parents. He loves us more than we could ever love our kids. And he said he has plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. So, you know, I'm encouraging everyone not to be afraid of God's will, because God isn't going to hurt us. He is not going to deny the good things from us. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. But we have to yield. We have to allow him to work in our lives. We have to trust him. To know that whatever is, you know, is whatever we face, that he will be able to bring us through victoriously. So I got through that part of it. I hope it's been a blessing.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.